Finally, the Buckeyes are playing football and joining us to talk all about it via the Wake 'Em Way hotline. Outstanding Buckeyes beat reporter, bucknuts.com. Follow him on Twitter, at Steve Hellwagon. He is our good buddy, Steve Hellwagon. Steve, how are you today?
I'm doing great, Kenny. What's going on?
Well, are you a champ or are you a chump, Steve Hellwagon? Which one are you, my friend?
I think waiting 10 months for football, we're all champs, especially having to wait since that Clemson game for Ohio State to get back out on the field. I think, you know, it is exciting in one aspect that, you know, the rest of the country's been playing for 6 or 7 months, but now the Big Ten is getting to join the party as well and hopefully can cram these 8 games into 8 weeks and in the 9th week crown a champion. And Ohio State going for history. There's never been a four-time outright Big Ten champion, so the Buckeyes are going for that record this year. And we were talking here on a local show today. I can't recall a time where there's been a team that's been this big of a prohibitive favorite going into a season as Ohio State. But the Buckeyes have the team to do it, and now it's a matter of going out on the field each Saturday and proving it.
Steve, and Brian, play the cut real quick, the short version of Ryan Day and what he said to you guys, the media, yesterday, the champ and chump cut. Go ahead, Brian.
Told him either you're going to look like a champ or look like a chump based on your preparation.
All right, so in years past, Steve, and you've covered this team as long and as well as anybody I know, all right? Years past, they've had a motto, right? They've had a saying. They've had something hanging, in the Woody Hayes Center. Was this Ryan Day's version of that to get their attention, or is there something else I don't know yet?
Well, I think he makes a good point, and he was asked yesterday if they feel like they have to play catch-up to Clemson and Alabama, the two teams that have kind of set themselves apart from the rest of the country with their play in the first 5 or 6 weeks. And he's like, you know, that talk is all fine and good, you know, when we get to the end of the season to see where we match up and everything. But if we have any other thought in our mind other than what it takes to beat Nebraska this week, then we are putting ourselves in a position to be upset. And we've seen a number of upsets across the country here in this first month, you know, teams that people thought were going to be in championship contention that are suddenly nowhere to be found. So because they've lost one or two games that maybe the public or the pollsters feel that they shouldn't have lost. So you don't want to put yourself in that category. You want to always put your best foot forward. And as we said, Ohio State's dominated the Big Ten for the last 3 years. There's going to be schools coming for them during this 8-game Big Ten run, and they have to be ready for it. Starts with Nebraska this week and at Penn State next week. We're going to find out quite about this team in the next 12 days or whatever. Coach Day made the point that they've now practiced 39 times since they started in mid-August, believing they were going to get to play a regular season starting on September the 3rd, and that was taken away, and eventually it became October the 24th, a 7 or 8 week delay from what it should have been. And they've been working pretty hard throughout that entire time, and of course since they reinstated football in the Big Ten, and then they were able to get into full pads on September the 30th, they'll have about 3 full weeks of that, 3.5 full weeks of that leading into the first game here against Nebraska. So they've put plenty of time in, and now all that matters is going out on the field each Saturday and showing that they deserve to be a championship caliber team.
Steve Hellwagon, our guest, bucknuts.com is the website he works for. Been there for years, Buckeyes beat reporter. We're getting ready for the game Saturday on WHBC, 10:30 pregame, 12 o'clock kickoff. And everybody out there, I'll be doing my postgame show on Facebook after the game, so you can watch me live on Facebook. I'll answer your questions. So find us on Facebook, Kenny Rota, or Facebook, a News Talk 1480 WHBC, talking about what I think will be the Buckeyes' first of 8 straight victories in the regular season. And, Steve, for that to happen, what has to happen? Where is the key to this game for Ohio State? They're 26-point favorites, so they should win handily. But where is the key to get that first win under their belt in this pandemic season?
Well, you raise a good question there. I think there were a lot of things that have to happen season long, but also with this game. I think there's a lot of curiosity. I think for this team going into the first game, I mean, you know about Justin Fields. He's a known commodity. The running back position, Trey Sermon and Master Teague, are they going to be as good as J.K. Dobbins was last year as a tandem? That remains to be seen. Those four freshman wide receivers, Jackson Smith, the Jigba, Julian Fleming, G. Scott, and Mookie Cooper, are they going to live up to their billing? All national top 100 prospects last year, and they're playing behind the likes of Chris Olave, Garrett Wilson, Jameson Williams. Seven frontline receivers on this team, potentially. One football, that's going to be a lot to keep a lot of people happy, but we'll see if Justin Fields and how he spreads it around to those guys, plus veteran tight ends and a veteran offensive line. So they averaged 47 points a game last year. Can they approach that? And of course, they're not playing anybody like a Bowling Green or a Miami, Ohio, or those type of teams in the preseason to where they can pad those numbers. They're all Big Ten games is what it is, starting with Nebraska and going through. So to me, on offense, those are some of the storylines. On defense, you got veterans at linebacker, but you're reloading on the defensive line and in the secondary. Will they play up to the same caliber and level of the Ohio State defense last year? They had two of the top three picks of the NFL draft, with Chase Young, defensive end, and Jeff Okuda, cornerback. Those guys are gone. You need somebody that shows that they can be that kind of sticky cornerback, which we think Sean Wade is going to move from covering the slot receiver to covering the split end out on the perimeter. And then a defensive end, you know, Zach Harrison, the freshman last year, showed he could do some things. So he and Tyreek Smith, Jonathan Cooper, those guys need to step up at defensive end. So those are some of the big question marks. For this game in particular, 2 years ago, Nebraska played Ohio State close in Columbus. It was 36-31, and Adrian Martinez, a freshman then, did a pretty good job against Ohio State's defense that day. Last year, Ohio State went out to Nebraska, and it was never a competitive game. 48-7, I think, was the final score. I think Ohio State had 35 points at halftime and kind of called off the dogs last year in the second half. So, you know, is Martinez going to do enough to keep Nebraska in this game? I don't know. That's a good question. You know, it would seem unlikely that Nebraska is going to give Ohio State a tough game. They've had back-to-back losing seasons, actually three losing seasons in a row and two in a row under Scott Frost. And they're just hoping to get to a bowl game this year. So a tough opener for them on the road, but ironic, these are the two schools that were pushing the hardest for the Big Ten to play college football this fall.
Steve Hellwagon, our guest, talking Buckeyes football, getting you ready for Saturday's 12 o'clock kickoff against Nebraska. Steve, I want to go both sides of the ball since you broke it down very well for us there. Let's go offense. Besides Justin Fields, okay? Give me a guy that's going to have a breakout season or has the potential to have a breakout season and become a big name, a regular name we read about, talk about every week besides the Heisman candidate.
Yeah, Olave last year had 12 touchdowns, so I wouldn't consider him to be a breakout guy. Garrett Wilson, 30 catches and 5 touchdowns last year and made just some amazing we talked to Olave today on a conference call, and he says that some of the things Garrett Wilson pulls off in practice are, quote, inhuman, end quote. So I, for one, am interested to see what Garrett Wilson can do that he considers to be inhuman on a football field beginning this Saturday. But maybe one of those freshmen. The two highly touted ones are Jackson Smith, the Jigba out of Texas, and Julian Fleming out of Pennsylvania. Maybe one of them gets into a groove where they're making 4, 5, 6 catches every week. And you know, we've seen it. This was years ago, a guy like David Boston as a true freshman in 1996. And there's others. Ted Ginn Jr. From about midseason on in 2004 became a household name. Maybe we'll see one of these freshmen kind of follow in those footsteps. I'm not sure what the record is for a freshman receiver. It could be Chris Carter way back when in 1984 when they went to the Rose Bowl. Maybe he established what's a freshman record, but I don't know. I'm interested to see how that shakes out in particular with, again, as he said, one football and seven receivers, two tight ends, and two running backs to divide the work with. I'm interested to see how it gets split up, no doubt about
it. All right. I want to ask you about a guy I've been waiting and waiting and waiting on, and he hasn't been, the game-breaker that I thought he might be, and this is his last go-round, I believe, with them. DeMario McCall. Well, what is the status of DeMario McCall? Because he looks flashy. He looks like he can take it to the house, kick, return, screen pass, whatever. But it just hasn't happened for him. Where's he at on the depth chart? Could he be a name we read about, maybe not on a regular basis, but more so than we have in the past?
You know, what's unfortunate for him is he's played behind so many great players at running back and wide receiver, and he had some injury issues maybe early in his Ohio State career, and he's never made a dish or a mark on offense for Ohio State. He's been pretty effective on kickoff and punt returns, and he's got tremendous speed when he can get out into the open field. It's just been a case of when do those instances come up. And I know that he's been considered a running back in the past. I think he was working primarily with the wide receivers at the beginning of camp and may have moved back to running back a little bit as well, since Marcus Crowley is not quite there yet, one of the backups from last year. Maybe they would use McCall as the third or fourth back, I don't know. But I think he'll have a role somewhere. Again, jack of all trades, master of none is kind of the saying that kind of comes into mind when you think about DeMario McCall. You believe you could plug him in any one of these positions and he'd produce some nice plays for you, but he's never really gotten that chance. And I don't know that it's necessarily going to happen for him this year. When you talk about, two outstanding running backs, Master Teague and the transfer from Oklahoma, Trey Sermon, he's not going to play in front of either one of them. And then if you want to put him on the field at wide receiver, you're going to take out Garrett Wilson or one of those freshmen. Is that going to be the answer as well? But he's a guy that can be electric with the ball in his hands. We just haven't seen enough of it to really say one way or the other.
All right, what about on the defensive side of the ball? Who's the next Joey Bosa, Nick Bosa, Chase Young, or is it somebody out of that linebacking core that 2 years ago was as bad as ever at Ohio State? Well, a lot of those guys are back. This is their chance to make an impact with three senior starters.
Yeah, you have a good point there on both those. Defensive end, we touched on him earlier, Zach Harrison. He was kind of coming into his own as the season wound down last year. And I think he's a guy with a high ceiling. Tyreek Smith's been injured and banged up for 2 years. Outstanding prospect out of Cleveland Heights from a couple of years ago. And we will see if he's a guy that can push his way in there. Jonathan Cooper's a fifth-year senior and a program guy from Gahanna, just right there. And he saw the Columbus and a Buckeye through and through. A really neat story for him, Ken. He is going to be the first ever Block O uniform recipient. The NCAA is allowing players to wear the number zero this year. And Ohio State and Ryan Day, like a lot of schools, have made number one a big thing. Ohio State is making that block zero, as they call it, their big thing. And have it as a tribute to one of the great trailblazers in program history, Big Bill Willis, as they referred to him, an offensive lineman from back in the 1940s. He is one of the first African-American stars for Ohio State in football in the 1940s. And to recognize his legacy and to honor, again, a great new tradition at Ohio State called the Block O in his honor. Even he wore number 99 as a player, but one of his nicknames, I think, was Block O since Ohio State, and he was the big block leading the way for the Buckeyes back then in some of their Big Ten championship seasons in the 40s. To recognize that that legacy, Jonathan Cooper's going to wear the number zero this year. So
okay.
That's a big distinction. and sometimes to try and live up to, and to have his best season play his way into a possible NFL career as well. So I think Jonathan Cooper is a guy to keep eyes on as well. And if he and Harrison and Smith can exert some pressure on the opposing quarterbacks, beginning with Adrian Martinez, who won a battle for that job at Nebraska, a two-year starter, and Scott Frost declared the job open in the preseason, and he went out and won it. If the Buckeyes can get after him in game one, that'd be a good sign.
Real quick, Steve, on that secondary, Sean Wade will start at one corner. Who's starting at the other corner? Is it Tyreek Johnson or is it Seven Banks?
Sounds like it's going to be Seven Banks. I think Tyreek Johnson and Cameron Brown are also in the mix. And another kid here from local high school, Marcus Williamson from Westerville, Ohio, hasn't played much in his 4 years at OSU, but they're going to play him as maybe a nickelback or a slot corner when they go to a fifth defensive back. So I would look at all those guys getting reps at corner. That's a pretty good four or five man tandem, you know, beyond Banks. Not many of them have played a whole lot in their career, but they're going to get that chance. And then over at safety, Josh Proctor and Marcus Hooker, the younger brother of the former All-American Malik Hooker from Newcastle, PA, those two guys are going to get most of the run, it seems, at the safety position. So that's an important situation. We watch football so far in the first month and a half. The offenses have not been one step ahead of the defenses. They've been two steps ahead of the defenses. And if you don't have strong secondary, great corners, and great safeties, you can get exposed very quickly. So Buckeyes are going to want to start out with good pass defense, no doubt.
Steve Hellwagon, our guest, via the Wake'em Way hotline. Follow him again at Steve Hellwagon on Twitter. Check his workout. He and his teammates at bucknuts.com. Fabulous website. If you're a Buckeye honk like I am, you want to read that every day with the latest breaking stuff. Steve, before we let you go, I expect Clemson, Alabama, Ohio State, and whoever to make it to the Final Four and play for the College Football National Championship this year. In order for the Buckeyes to do that, Steve, Penn State, Michigan, are those the two big, tests on the regular season schedule? Who do you think comes out of the West, and do you think the Buckeyes can get to that Final Four?
Yes, I think the Buckeyes can get to the Final Four. So far, I've only seen a Final Two. Alabama and Clemson have set themselves, in my mind, head and shoulders above the rest. When Notre Dame can only score 12 points against Louisville last week, I don't know how anybody with a brain thinks they're going to keep up with Clemson. I mean, that looks like it could be 40-17 if that's all the better Notre Dame can play on offense. So, like Georgia, they may get exposed and cast aside. Yep. And Alabama, you know, again, they did have a couple fumbles here, giving up 48 points or whatever it was to Ole Miss. Not good, but, you know, they found ways to win their first several games. You know, there may be one or two other undefeated teams out there, but I don't think anybody who's seriously going to challenge those two teams and Ohio State for the national championship. It's kind of like last year where we got a big three, and then, you know, Oklahoma was the next best of the rest, and they threw them in there. And I'm not sure the Big 12 will have a team this year unless Oklahoma State can run the table. Maybe somebody out of the Pac-12 in a six- or seven-game season can show what they can do, or maybe they have to dip back down and take a Notre Dame or Georgia. I don't know, but at any rate, Ohio State's right there. The big thing to me, Ken, is staying COVID-free. I mean, that's your number one thing. You can't have a linebacker group or the quarterback go down and not be available for 3 weeks as this Big Ten protocol kind of outlines. That would be a killer. So, one, stay COVID-free, stay injury-free. I think that's the other thing. You know, given the wonkiness of this preseason, we've seen some injuries, soft tissue injuries have popped up, either guys over-prepared or under-prepared for the season and weren't ready. And, you know, some things have popped and some different things have happened. So those are probably the two biggest obstacles to me. Ohio State's got, you know, again, at Penn State next week, huge game, although they just lost their running back, Journey Brown, who was close to 1,000 yards, I think, last year. He's not going to play this season. So that gap between Ohio State and Penn State widens even further. Michigan with a new quarterback, Joe Milton. We're going to find out what they're all about Saturday night out of the box at Minnesota. No waiting. We can find out if they're a fraud or if they're for real on Saturday night, right now. And then down the line, obviously, from the West, I think it's the winner of Wisconsin-Minnesota, and that game this year's played in Wisconsin. Wisconsin's without its quarterback cone, I think, right now. Minnesota's got a returner at quarterback, and it had a guy at wide receiver, Bateman, I think, opt back in. So maybe they have the upper hand in the West this year. Iowa and Nebraska also in the running, but I think it comes down to Minnesota and Wisconsin once again this year. So if you put a gun to my head, I guess I'd say Wisconsin. But, you know, let's get into this and see who is healthy and who isn't. And I definitely believe Ohio State's going to run this table 9-0 and be there, either the second, third seed, whatever it is, at the end for the playoff and go from there, possibly playing somebody in the Rose Bowl semifinal, the other semifinal in New Orleans. Championship, January 11th, mark the calendar, Miami, Florida. So that's the end point. And, you know, the way that we're not starting the season till late October, it'll be here before you know it.
All right, I'm writing that down. Rose Bowl is one playoff game, right?
Yes.
And then you said New Orleans, the Sugar Bowl, New Orleans, right?
Yes.
Sugar Bowl is the other one. Yeah, both of those are January 1 and then January 11th. See, that's why we have you on, Steve. I mean, I'm taking notes for my post-game show, so I have all this information. So let me get this straight. Rose Bowl, Sugar Bowl, January 1, January 11th, Miami, Florida. You go 9 straight weeks. That 9th week will be the Big Ten championship game, right? The Buckeyes are trying to become the first time ever anybody's won 4 outright Big Ten championships, correct?
That's right, definitely.
Wow.
You know, in the old days, it was all based on record, of course, and now you have only one champion. You know, it's hard to compare Urban Meyer to Jim Tressel, you know, because Tressel never had that extra hurdle of the championship game. I think Tressel did win 6 or 7 Big Ten championships, and Meyer won, I think, 3, I think, in his time. But, you know, he has that extra hurdle. He did lose one time in the with an undefeated team that would have counted under Tressel.
Yep.
Did not count under Meyer because they lost to Michigan State. So, you know, it is what it is. But to me, I like the landscape of college football. It's been fun to watch for the last few weeks, and now we get to dive in with the Big Ten on Saturday.
Amen to that. And one, we got about 30 seconds. Do we know yet who the backup to Justin Fields is so they can get him as much playing time as possible in some of these blowouts?
No, Ryan Day did not announce the backup. It's between the fifth-year senior Gunnar Hoke, who played at Kentucky a couple years, and then the two true freshmen, C.J. Stroud from California, Jack Miller from Arizona. And the money's on Stroud. He's the highest ranked of the three. But, you know, it all depends on who's performed the best on the practice field, who's immersed themselves in the offense, who's ready to go. That's what it all comes down to.
Hopefully some of those guys will get some playing time this Saturday in the first game.
Yes.
And if they do, that means the Buckeyes will be in a big blowout win. Steve, we always appreciate the time. Thanks for it. We'll talk to you again next week. All right, buddy?
All right, King. Take care.
Steve Hellwagon, Bucknuts.com, giving you all the information you need to know, you need to have for the Buckeyes' first game of the season this Saturday, 12 noon, right here on WHBC.